Welcome to Thousand Hills Ranch Church. We hope that you enjoy this message and that it speaks to your heart.
We started a series last Sunday called Riding Double. Riding Double. How many of you guys have ever ridden a horse double? Anybody? Anybody? Yeah, raise your hand. How many of you guys have ever ridden a horse triple? Triple? Seriously? Like in the first service, I didn't have anybody say they'd ridden a horse triple. Now, I don't know what you guys are doing when you're riding triple, but I'll tell you my story. I rode triple one time. I was like 4 or 5 years old. My brother was 6 or 8. I don't even know the ages. But anyways, and then my oldest brother was like 5 years older. And we had gone to Cherokee, Oklahoma, to our family ranch. We were visiting family there. We went out into this pasture, and my dad, he didn't know a whole lot about horses, but there was a horse out there, so he had this bright idea that he was going to put us on this horse, even though it didn't have a halter, even though he'd never met the horse. And he didn't know this horse from Adam. You know what I'm saying? Adam or Eve. I can't remember if it was a mare or not. But anyways, so my dad decided I was youngest. He put me on the front of the horse, and then he put my middle brother in the middle, and then he put my oldest brother on the back. And then he walks up behind the horse and goes, "Hey, yeah!" That's all it took, because that mare, I'm sure it was a mare. No, I'm just kidding. That mare just split in two. And my brothers, they're a little bit obviously older than I was. Well, they held on to me. And so I landed first. They landed on top of me, and I was dying. And my grandpa, my great-grandfather, was in the car cussing. He was like, shouldn't be putting those kids on that horse. He doesn't know that horse. You know, he's cussing in the car. And we hit the ground, and I'll never forget. I think I still have a sand burr in me. I mean, I was like 4, and I still have a sand burr. But here's the thing. Riding double is something that takes a little work, right? I mean, I rode double with my son a few weeks ago, and we were riding, and it takes work to hold on to him. He's 6 years old, and we were riding together, and his hat fell off, and then he fell off the back. And so it was like we were having fun and all that stuff, but it's work, right? Well, we want to show you what it looks like to ride double with Christ, because he wants us to be successful in our relationships. And so you're in for a treat today. Today we have a special couple all the way from Las Cruces, New Mexico. Anybody been from New Mexico? Anybody from New Mexico? Yeah, yeah. We got a couple over here. New Mexico, great state. They're from Las Cruces, New Mexico. And they're here to share their love story with you guys today. So give it up for Chance and Shanna without an N on the end. Means. Give it up for them. We are so glad to have you guys with us today. We get to sit on some cool bar stools and look cool. Ain't that right? Well, we want to start out by allowing you guys having the chance to introduce yourself. And before you do that, I came across this amazing couple on a blog that Shanna had written. It's called The Brave Series, and it's by a gal that's on Instagram. And the title of it is what? Cooped Up?
The Cooped Up Cowboy's Wife.
Wife. Okay. There you go.
So write that down and check it out.
Look it up. It's called The Brave Series, and it follows a bunch of ladies, right? I mean, I don't think there's any men that's spoken on it, has there?
Right. Tons of testimonies and awesome stories about just women and...
Yeah. And so being the man that I am, I was reading this lady's blog. And I came across it, and I'm telling you, the story that they're going to be able to share with you today, it touched my heart, and it revolutionized the way that, again, that I believe the Bible wants us to have relationships. And so I'm excited for you to be able to share that story with them. Tell us a little bit about your backgrounds, what you do for a living, what you're retired from, and some your future family.
Yeah. My name is Chance, and first off, just thank you guys for having us. It's a huge honor for Shanna and I, so we just bless you guys. We bless this church. We got to spend the day yesterday with Bo and Heather and Miss Madeline, and they're just an awesome family. So one thing that I encourage you guys to do is just back them, be 100% for them, speak life into them. This isn't an easy job, okay? They have a ton of responsibility, and so just as much as you can, bless them, because they give so much of themselves to you guys. So we just ask that you guys do that in return to them. Just speak life into them and their kids. And I know from what Bo was telling us yesterday, he's got a team around him that does a lot of that stuff. So anyways, it's so awesome what you guys have going on here. So I train horses for a living. I've been on my own now for about almost four years. I've worked for other trainers before that, and so we kind of went out on our own. And she was working for me with me full time.
with.
We break a lot of 2-year-olds. I train a lot of team roping horses, calf horses. Shanna trains barrel horses. And she's also a retired speech therapist now. But we're expecting our first child in July.
Woo! Give it up!
Yeah, thank you.
It's a boy.
It's a boy.
It's a boy, praise the Lord.
That's right, amen.
Low maintenance, buddy.
Yeah, I'm kind of stall girl right now.
Stall girl, how about that? You've moved up in the world.
That's retired good. Speech therapist, horse trainer, stall girl.
Yeah, so you have a bachelor's degree in what?
My bachelor's is in communication disorders, and then I got my master's in basically speech therapy.
Absolutely, and you did that for a little while, is that right?
Yes, I did that for a little over a year, and then decided to help build the training business.
Build the training business, but you have a desire to maybe bring it back and use your education to do some with autistic kids through horse equine and all that stuff,
yeah,
therapy?
Yeah, I think if I went back to speech, I would want to do like hippotherapy. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that or not, but it's just basically using horses and speech therapy, and it's pretty amazing. So
that is. That's awesome.
So tell us how you guys met. Tell us your story there.
Well, we knew each other in high school rodeo. We both high school rodeoed together, and then we were friends, kind of didn't know each other that great. And then we both ended up in Las Cruces at NMSU together on the rodeo team and just kind of went from there.
What's your side of the story, Chance? Well, you saw her walking in the sunset. Hello, Clarice.
Pretty much. No, I'm just kidding. Pretty much. Well, yeah, I mean, her freshman year there was my junior year. I transferred from a junior college in Arizona. And we were friends, you know, but it was always kind of she was dating other people, I was dating other people. And then we kind of started talking one summer, but I was rodeoing pretty hard. And so I just called her one day and I said, hey, I bought you a plane ticket. I'm on my way to Cheyenne. Come watch a Cheyenne rodeo. So, I mean, you know, I knew
that's
she
a heck of a first date.
I knew she
brother.
Wasn't going to turn that down. You know?
I know, dude. You had her. You had her from hello. Yeah.
She missed her plane. Mr. Plane.
Mr. Plane.
Yeah.
Good, good.
I had to take care of that. So I was like, well, I don't know if she missed it on purpose or not. But anyways, regardless, she got there. So and then we just I rodeoed for a few more months after that. And then horses got sore and I went home. And so we were able to spend more time together and build our relationship. And I asked her to be my girlfriend. She said yes.
Yes.
That's good.
So when was your first date? What was the date? I guess, Cheyenne, when is that? Like July.
July.
Yeah,
sorry.
July. Okay. So why, Chance, why did you want to marry Shanna? Or actually, why did you fall in love with her? What qualities did you see in her? And then, Shanna, you answer the same question. What qualities did you see in Chance?
Yeah, you know, it's pretty simple for me. I had never been around somebody besides my mom that, you know, she found the greatness inside of me. Each and every day she found a quality and she would pull it out and she would, you know, champion me. She would just always, every day show me something great about myself that I didn't even know about. And so to have somebody that was for me that much, that pushed me to go after my dreams and just to live life to the fullest and, you know, I had never had anybody like that was for me in that way. And so, I mean, just to have somebody like that on your team, I mean, it was just like falling in love with her every day over and over and over. And, you know, even in my worst of times, she could, in those moments, do such a great job, just the way she can speak life into situations, just be able to pull truth out of the inside of me, and it would just lift me right back up. And so, and not to mention that she's beautiful. I mean, that
there
makes
you
sense.
Go, my friend. Too. There you go. Brownie points. Wipe it off, man. Brown nose, all you want. That's good. So, Shanna, why Chance?
Why Chance?
I know the list is long.
It really is. He's way better at this kind of stuff than I am. But I don't know. Basically, it sounds pretty corny, but I'm like a huge dreamer. And he just always, always, always believed in me and every crazy idea I had and have every day. just always behind me, just so much fun, but mostly he's just like a real man. And
amen. We like real men.
Yeah, I like real men.
Again, define that for all these ladies that are looking for a real man.
Well, he wears real jeans.
Real jeans! Sorry to all you skinny jean people, all you hipsters.
He always has a knife on him.
Always has a knife. That's good.
No. I thought about that a lot. And I think for me, it's a guy that loves God, loves Jesus. That's first. And isn't ashamed of it, you know. He loves Jesus. He'll tell you that all day.
Amen.
And he treats me like a queen, obviously.
He treats you like a queen?
He knows how to treat a woman.
You bet.
He leads me without me feeling led. You know, I didn't even realize I was being led. I kind of thought it was my idea.
Sweet, dude. You need to teach me how to do that. Well, that's awesome. So you guys met, you began to date, and then you fell in love. Tell us about your engagement, how that all came about, and the process of all that.
Well, I had no idea it was coming. I thought we were like 1 or 2 years away. We were like not prepared at all. I wasn't through school. I didn't have a job. He was like working on his business. So I thought it was way down the line. We were not prepared at all. I don't think you can be totally prepared.
Yeah.
You know.
So tell us the story, the romantic story. Well, come on now, Chance. Come on.
I bought the ring, and it's funny because I bought it when we were living in Portales, and but it was like the week before we were moving back to Las Cruces. And so on the drive back to Las Cruces, I wanted to just pull over on the side of the road and ask her. I couldn't stand it. It was burning a hole in my pants, and I just couldn't stand it. And so anyways, when we got back and got moved into Cruces, there's a it's called White Sands National Monument, and it's about an hour from where we're at, and as kids, everybody, their families always take them there. Well, Shannon and I guess we were a little bit unlucky. Our family never took us there, so we'd never been there. So I just told her, let's run over there and, you know, just kind of spend the day and take the day off. And so we did, and we were walking around. It was super hot. And
first of all, it's White Sands. So hot. And he is wearing boots. Like, you don't wear boots there. It's too hot. And jeans and...
Well, I hid the ring in my boots, first of all, and I wasn't going to ask her to marry me in shorts, you know, and a baseball cap, so yeah, I had to dress the part. But anyways, I finally found a spot where there was nobody around and got down on one knee and was scared to death and shaking and crying. And
crying. A real man. Real men cry. Yeah. And so. She said
yes, but I didn't hear it the first time. So
you're like, can you repeat that?
I said yes right away.
Right away?
Right before he finished asking.
Yeah, yes. Well, that's beautiful. So tell us a little bit about maybe your upbringing in the church. Like when you gave your life to Jesus and how that kind of came about.
Yeah, I was 9 years old. I grew up in a Baptist church, you know, did the youth group deal. My family was involved with the church. I grew up in a real, real small town. And so we knew everybody, and that was just, there wasn't a lot to do, you know, outside. I mean, just cause we were a long ways away from town. So the youth groups and that kind of activity was always something that we took part of. And so from then, you know, when I went on to college, I kind of stepped away a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, got to doing things I shouldn't have been doing, but you know, then once Shannon and I got together and you know, began to grow, we got back involved in the church real heavy. And
yeah.
Yeah. So just since I was a kid, like I had a relationship with God, you know, I was in some situations where I just kind of had to. And then we went to church. We weren't necessarily like a super churchy family, but we went to church a lot and definitely had that relationship. But it wasn't until... I don't know, a few months, no, after we got engaged, you know, where I had been saved, but I was kind of transformed in that I had such a different relationship then.
You bet. Absolutely. And so in your dating relationship, and even when you got engaged, how did your relationship with Christ influenced that? Was it something that was important, like you said, maybe from the get-go, or did you start making, you know, decisions on your own to say, okay, here's what we're going to do and here's what we're not going to do? Or how did that come about, and how did you guys, you know, involve your relationship with Christ or not?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me anyways, I'll let her speak for herself, but, you know, when we first started dating, to me, in my mind, the relationship that I had with God was, I'll call you if I need you.
You bet.
You know? And so, yeah, he was there. I was saved. I knew a lot of things, but I also didn't. My relationship was not on an intimate level like it should have been.
Yeah.
You know? And so he was just kind of there in the background, kind of my lifeline, you know, when I get in a bind. And it wasn't until after we got engaged, whenever we realized the importance and began to make decisions we'll talk about later. But
yeah,
you know, that's whenever I really began to grow and understand the importance of relationship with him.
You bet. And based on that, you know, again, even though you had a relationship, you kind of put God in this category. But he wasn't really the motivation, maybe even for your relationship. And you began to make some decisions that you maybe knew were wrong, but you went ahead and did it. Share about that experience between you guys.
Yeah, so we were dating. We weren't engaged yet, and Shanna got accepted into grad school, and she was going to move about 8 hours away from where I lived, and so I just went with her. And
that was a good move, dude.
Yeah.
Good move.
Yeah.
You followed her.
And so we ended up moving in together, you know. And look, we're going to be as real and raw as we can here, but, you know, obviously we were having sex, you know, so I knew that there was two things that was going on, but at the same time, it was just kind of one of those deals that I thought, you know, it's okay to do that, you know, it's very convenient to live together, one rent payment, you know, one food bill, it's just going to make it a lot easier. We only had to find one place to rent. We didn't have to go find two houses, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I thought it just worked good, and so that was the reason for us living together in the beginning, and then you know, after we got engaged and moved back to Las Cruces, it was still, well, I'm not going to move out, you know, we're engaged, we're getting married, so I know I'm going to live with her for the rest of my life, but I will tell you this, that I did have thoughts of when I first moved and followed her to Portales that, you know, this is a good thing that I'm living with her, because I get to kind of try to figure out if this is the woman I want to spend the rest of my life with, you know, if we can make it work, all the things that the world tells you to do.
Yeah.
Looking back now, I realize that that was the biggest mistake I made, because I disrespected her.
Yeah.
Because I devalued her, because I had to, in my mind, I had to make sure that she was good enough for me, which is jacked up.
Yeah.
I also disrespected God, because this was a gift that he had given to me, and I told him, I don't know about it. Let me use it first and see if it's really good enough.
Wow, that's
so
good.
I also devalued him and what he sent to me.
Give him a hand for that. That's good stuff right there. You want to say anything toward that, Shanna, that whole time of your life?
Well, I mean, what was your mindset kind of going into it? He kind of shared his. What kind of thoughts did you have?
To be totally honest, I didn't even really think twice about it. I mean, I didn't. I just kind of thought that's the way it, you know, would be. Like, he'd move in with me and go from there. I didn't really have any, like, deep conviction or, you know, I didn't grow up with mindsets of that just being super bad or anything. So I didn't think twice, really.
Yeah. And this is something that we want to touch in on, because this is where their story takes a turn. And here's what I want you to realize. None of us are perfect. I mean, you can look at people on the stools up here and you can go, wow, they're really, you know, good and they do great things and all this. And he's the preacher and that's his wife and all that. But none of us are perfect. All of us have made mistakes in our relationships. But here's where the church makes the mistake. The church, just like Shanna just said, makes the mistake that you know, they think, and pastors and churches think, that everybody should know what the Bible says about relationships. Therefore, we're not going to, I mean, I, as a parent, I'm not going to tell my kids about that. I'm not going to, you know, influence anybody else or talk about what God's design is. And we assume that everybody's going to get it through osmosis, that, God actually has a design for dating and marriage and courtship and all that stuff. We've just got to be able to talk about it. And so the blessing of being a part of Thousand Hills Ranch Church is that we open up the Bible and we share truth, but we share truth with grace. Amen. And so here's where their relationship, obviously they've admitted that, man, that was a mistake to move in together. They were influenced maybe even by the world, and they took the world standard to heart and decided to base it on what the world says rather than what the Word said. And then God did an amazing thing in their life, because some of you guys are in that same situation. You're living together, you're having sex with someone outside of marriage, and you think, well, can God redeem this? Can He turn this around? Well, I want you to hear the rest of the story, because then they were actually doing chores, right? Doing some chores, and they were living together, they were having sex, and then God began to speak to them individually. And what did He say? You guys share that.
Well, kind of during that time, I had really been focused on, you know, the relationship. And when you have a relationship, you talk, and it's back and forth. So I was just always talking to God. I really relied on that verse. I had it wrote down. John 10:27, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And I think sometimes when you are talking to God, it's hard to trust that He's listening, and you hear Him back, but there's so much doubt that comes in, it's hard to believe that He's actually speaking to you. So in that time, I was just really trying to talk and trust that I was hearing Him, that it was coming from Him. So I had been working on that. Anyways, long story short, we come home late one night, we're doing chores, and we split up on the property. I went to one side, I think, to feed the dogs, and I heard as clear as you could hear anything without hearing like an audible voice, very plainly, "You and Chance need to stop having sex." And it's crazy, because to hear something like that, but in such a loving, caring, I mean, there was no shame, no guilt, plain as could be way. Yeah, I heard it. And so I immediately, you know, wanted to go tell Chance, but at the same time, that's kind of a big deal. It's random, and how do you tell somebody that? So I went across the property and tell your part.
Well, God pretty much spoke the exact same thing to me. I was same a lot what she said. I was really working on my relationship, being intimate with God, and so I was just praying. And during my prayer time, just walking around feeding all the horses, and you know, I heard the same thing, that we needed to stop having sex. And what God, He took me further, because I need a little bit more explanation. That's just the way I'm wired.
Amen.
And so He began to show me that there was a big disrespect that I was showing to Shanna in this, you know, throughout the past couple of years. And so, and what I realized later was I wasn't just disrespecting her. And again, it's not like, I mean, it wasn't like I was forcing her into it, right? But there was a disrespect of the who God created her to be, and I was disrespecting that. Okay, and so once I realized that, it was an easy decision for me. So anyways, we both got done doing whatever we were doing, and we met each other, and we just kind of looked at each other, and she teared up, and so I immediately knew what she had just heard, and I teared up, and we cried, and we hugged, and we talked about it for just a second. But in that moment, when we told each other what we had just heard and realized the significance of it all, the presence of God was so thick in that moment. It was one of the greatest experiences I had had up until that point, just to feel the love of God just almost engulf us in that moment. And, you know, it was, for me, it was very freeing, because I knew the decision that we had just made was hard. You know, it wasn't easy, but it was very simple. And the love that He showed in that moment, it was almost like, no matter what, you know, I've got you. And so for us, you know, it based everything from that moment for the rest of our relationship, what we had that was going to come back up. It was all from a place of love and conviction, not from guilt, doubt, disbelief, fear, or condemnation. So
the crazy part, I have to say this, is Nobody had spoken to us about this. It's not like it was on our mind. Nobody in church was telling us anything about it. Our family wasn't. I mean, it wasn't even an issue until that moment.
Well, I mean, my takeaway from that, too, is that the importance of dating someone who loves Jesus. Because how hard would it have been had y'all been in this relationship and been that far and maybe only you heard that and he wasn't in tune with the Lord? So, you know, just reiterating the equally yoked part where you date someone who, you know, looks to Jesus and trusts him. I want to back up just a little bit in your story and have you kind of tell us when you took that step and decided to move in together, did your relationship change any, or kind of did some dynamics change there? Was it kind of what you thought it would be, or was it not? Or
So it was our normal relationship, only more intense and more issues. But to be honest, we fought a lot more. And looking back now, I know why everything was out of order. Everything was out of order as far as our priorities and what we did and what was first in our lives. And it's just, you know, God is like a God of freedom, total freedom, but he's also a God of order. Mm-hmm. And we were just out of order and we didn't know it. So, you know, there was some conflict.
Sure. And so then you made the decision, okay, we're, you know, going to stop having sex. And then, so what? How did that play out?
The decision was easy, but I will tell you this, the temptation was still there. And that's where a lot of people have misconceptions. You know, they think that thoughts that they have that come into their mind, which are sent from the enemy himself, and temptation comes from that. And they think that when they have those temptations or those thoughts that, you know, they're sinning or they're bad or whatever. But in all reality, it's only bad if you agree with and accept the temptation, right, or the thought. You know, if it just stays here, if you get it out, it's fine. If you let it go from here to here, that's whenever you can get into trouble. And so the temptations that we were having were still there. But a verse that I always went back to and leaned on is, and I know everybody knows it, but it's John 8:32, and it's just, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I like that. I know a lot of versions say shall set you free, but out of the New King James Version, it says, and it shall make you free. And for me, what I realized was once I knew the truth about what God wanted for our relationship, the truth of who I was and the truth of who Shanna was and the truth of who God was, because it was the goodness of God. And so once I realized that, it made me free. It broke the chains away from the decisions I had made in the past. I was able to let go of. Even so, this is what's really cool. My past relationships that I had with other women that where I had slept with them and these types of things. You know, there was times where, you know, even dating Shanna, I would have, even when we were engaged, before we moved out and stuff, I would have thoughts about him. And I just kept thinking, man, that's terrible.
Yeah.
I don't want anything to do with her anymore. Well, what I realized was is there was still a soul connection because I had made a soul tie with that person. But because of the decisions that we made, and then when we begin to process these things out, we were actually able to break free of any past relationship that both of us had ever had.
Wow.
And it was phenomenal.
That is.
And so for me, right then, that's when I knew God can make all things new. He can go into a sticky situation and make good out of anything. And we're living proof, and that's why it's so powerful and why we like to share our testimony, you know, because the power is in the testimony of Jesus Christ. So
at this point, you decide, okay, we're not going to have sex, but you continue to live together for a little bit. And so then what happened to make you decide, okay, we need to go a step further? And
Well, a couple things that was on my mind that, you know, even though we weren't doing it, we were still living together. And for some reason that bothered me, but I didn't know why. And I couldn't really find a black and white answer in the Bible at that time. And so for me, I learned that like the faith had to come before the understanding. I didn't understand, but for some reason at that time, I was able to just stand on my faith and do it. Now I understand, like every day there's something thrown at me that makes me realize why I did it and why it was so beneficial. But the verse that I leaned on was 2 Corinthians 3:14. And it says, but whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So that just really showed me that you had to turn to the Lord first, and then the veil was taken away for understanding.
Wow.
The veil wasn't taken away so that I could understand and then turn to the Lord. And for me, that's been absolutely true.
It's the blessing of obedience, even in spite of not knowing what the future is going to hold. And so what you guys learned was, again, you got to take that step of faith, and then God's going to reveal the rest, but he wants you to take that step of faith. And one of the things that I've learned, I do a lot of premarital counseling. Some of you guys I've married, some of you guys have gone through my counseling, and hopefully you'll make it in your marriage because you went through my counseling. But anyways, so what I've learned is, and I deal with probably 99% of the people that I do counseling with, they're living together and they're having sex. And here's their answer for that. They want to get to know each other. They feel like they can get to know each other. They feel like the commitment's going to grow between each other. And what I've learned in speaking to those people, and you guys can speak toward this as well, that actually the desire to become one is never possible without the God of the world having his blessing on it. So people want this oneness in their relationship because they want to try it out and they want to figure all this stuff out. But at the end of the day, it's not God's got, it doesn't have God's blessing on it. Therefore, like you said, you guys fought more. And when you begin to, let's say you get married. Here's what else I've found. When people get married and they lived together before, oftentimes they still don't have oneness because their foundation was built on something else besides God. And they live this parallel life, and it never ends. So they're going like this rather than being like this. And so I've got my mortgage, I got my car, I got my bank account, this is my stuff, this is your stuff. And they live like that for so long that even when they get married, it's a struggle for them to become one, like God wants them to become one. And so I don't know. I believe, and I know they believe, and I know many of you believe that God's design for marriage, dating, sex is a blessing. It's a blessing. I'm just telling you, it's better. It's better than the world's. And until you experience sex within the boundaries of marriage and honored by God, you're not having sex. Right? I mean, tell us.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to be super honest again. Like, sex outside of marriage is a total counterfeit ripoff. Like, you're getting ripped off. the devil only perverts, like, really amazing gifts, which, you know, sex being one of them. And he counterfeits everything. He can't create, so he tries to just copy. And his version of sex, which is outside of marriage, isn't good. You're missing out.
Absolutely, yeah. And so you guys, in that moment, you guys decided, okay, we're going to stop having sex. But then you took it a step further and you say, we're going to move out. Now, again, some people are going, I can't move out. I can't move out. We got all this stuff together. We got all these things going together. I mean, and so how did you have the guts to actually take it a step further and say, okay, we're going to honor God because it's not just about us. It's about influencing other people. How did you come to that decision?
I mean, for me, I always knew, obviously, it was a testimony for me. It was a testimony for Chance, for God. Like, it was our thing. We were doing it for our own selves. But at the same time, there was little girls around me and even older women. And it didn't look any different, what we were doing. We still lived. You wouldn't know any better. I mean, we could still be doing what we were doing and you wouldn't know it. And I know that's not the most important thing. You never do anything for everybody else. But I always knew it was also for other people. And so anyways, I still didn't know why I needed to move out. So I fought it a little bit. And again, long story short, God spoke to me and he basically pretty firmly told me, I didn't call you to be of this world. So you don't have to do it like everybody else is doing it. And it was just so personal and clear, and I knew it was God that I moved out.
And did you hear the same thing, or was this decision kind of more she?
Oh, yeah, I heard the same thing. I didn't hear of the world, but I just, there was a very strong feeling that we needed to stop living together. And what I felt from it was, is that was going to be the step that was going to really signify the commitment that we were making with God. And I know that's something that I think you shared this. Maybe you can touch on it more. You but bet. About the commitment, you know, it was easier to just stay living together rather than making a commitment, not with just one another, but with God, to actually move out and show the world that we were for real. And that's a big deal, you know, in the spiritual realm. I mean, we were making, I think we made decisions that we don't even know how important they were. You know, and then to the world, that was something that they don't see very often.
Yeah.
You know, when we were getting marriage counseling from the guy that married us, we walk in there, he said, okay, let's hear your testimony of when you were saved. And I was like, I was saved when I was 9. You want to hear a better testimony? And I told him, we told him this one.
Yeah.
And he was just, even being a pastor, he said, I haven't seen anything like this in years.
Yeah.
He said, it's nice to know that people are still wanting to take that step. And, you know, and so for me, it was, it like she said, it wasn't just about me, but I wanted to be able to empower others in a way. And it's a lot easier to share your experience and teach from that than it is to say, just for me to be able to say, well, even though I did it wrong, you need to do it this way.
Yeah.
That's what religion does, you know?
Right.
And so to answer your question, if that did answer your question.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And so, would you guys have appreciated someone that loved Jesus and loved you for them to be able to come up to you and say, hey, man, I want to speak some truth into your life because I love you. And here's what I believe God's design is for marriage. Would you have wanted that, or did you ever think about that? I mean, looking back, would you have wanted someone that you had an authentic relationship, a friendship with, not someone out of the blue, but that could speak that truth into your life? Do you wish you'd have had that? Or did you have it and you just ignored it, or what?
We didn't really have it. I'll tell you what we did have. After the decisions we've made, we had a couple different people tell us that they had actually gone into intercessory prayer because they knew we were living together and they knew we were having sex.
Yeah.
And they felt like they were supposed to tell us to stop, but then God spoke to them and said, no, just pray. And then a couple months later, we've completely been transformed and we're not living together. We're not having sex. And so there were people on our side that we didn't even know, you know. Now, if I could look back, and I wish that we could have had somebody that, as long as they can do it from a place of love, to where
sure.
we never feel guilty, shameful about what we were doing.
Yeah.
If they can come from that place with no manipulation, no judgment, absolutely, I'm all for that.
You bet. And you guys have been able to do that in other people's lives now, right? Speak that truth and love into other people's lives,
yeah.
right?
Yes.
And your friends, I mean, again, let's talk about your friends and your family. When you guys decided to move out, what was their response? Were they like, what the crap? You know, what's going on? You guys getting, you know, you guys breaking up? I mean, what was their response? Or was it positive, negative? What'd you have to face there?
It was mixed. Most of the people that were really close to us were just super awkward. They were just awkward, almost kind of stepped away a little bit, like, I don't know what these people are doing.
Did that hurt?
Yeah.
I mean, did it hurt?
Yeah, it did, for sure.
Okay, so let's stop right here. What would you wish your godly friends would have done in that situation?
Just talk to us. I wish they just would have asked us, what are you doing? Or
giving you a hug and supported it?
Yeah,
I mean, really.
That's,
I mean, yeah, yeah.
How about a, you know,
atta boy.
Yeah, just that's what was so crazy to me, is they were more okay with the wrong decisions that we were made than actually making a huge change and putting ourselves out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, that almost, they were almost against that more than they were living
yeah.
together and having sex. And so it was real confusing. But at the same time, you know, a few months prior, I was in the same place that they were.
Sure.
So, yeah, it hurt, but our close believer friends were for us 100%. They
yeah.
encouraged us, they championed us, they pushed us.
That's true. And that helped us. Like, we had some people from our church that we were really close to.
And there was a couple, one couple in particular that we talked to a ton. They actually helped hold us accountable for the decision we made.
Yeah.
Not like, what have y'all been doing? But, hey, if you guys are having struggles with temptation or whatever, call us. Visit, you know, we'll help you as much as we can.
You bet.
So to have that person on our side, too, that wasn't there to watch and make sure we didn't mess up, but was there to help us when we needed it. And I totally, if anybody decides to make this type of decision, you need to have somebody like that that you can reach out to. And I think it's important for the man to have somebody he can call.
You bet.
For the woman have somebody that she can call. And for them to be able to make a call together to another couple that can help them or somebody that can help
them. That's good stuff. Give them a hand for that. That's a good stuff right there. So you move out. How long were you apart and moved out until the wedding? You remember?
I think close to a year.
Close to a year.
Maybe. I mean, 8 months.
It was about 8 or 10 months, I think.
You are the man. You are, I mean, God is strong in you, my friend. So, but here's the cool thing. So here's what else I want you to hear. So let's take it a step further. The wedding. You've moved out. You follow God. You stopped having sex. I mean, and all that stuff. And you honored God. Now tell us about the wedding and without too much detail, maybe even the wedding night. Tell us what happened.
Well, the wedding was phenomenal.
He took me home, dropped me off.
The wedding was phenomenal because it was because of the steps we had made along the way, you know, the covenant that we were about to make with God. So the presence of God that was at the wedding was just, it was so cool to experience that. I couldn't have asked for a better day as far as being able to say my vows and just feel the presence of God there. And then, yeah, the wedding night. I mean, I said this earlier, you know, I now understand that God can absolutely 100% go into any situation and make all things new. Because on that night, you know, when we consummated the marriage, it felt like the first time for me. Yeah. I was nervous. I was scared. I was shaking. I wanted to lay there and cry like a little girl afterwards. There was so many emotions. And I think it was what I truly think it was is, no, it wasn't like we had been fighting for it for, 25 and 27 years. But we fought for what we knew was right. And we fought for something that God asked us to do. For the 8 or 10 months, whatever it was, we both had to fight for that gift that we were able to present to the spouse on that night. And to understand the process and the fight along the way, to be able to hand it to her that night, it was just phenomenal. You know, and also to be able to lift that up to God that night, it was just, we totally felt and knew that there was favor and so many blessings coming to us because of those decisions. And I mean, we have proof now, you know, we have a
Amen.
Healthy baby on the way.
Healthy baby boy. It was worship. We call it worship around here. That's our code for sex.
There you go.
It's good. It's good. So the one question I think you were going to ask about the advice.
Yeah, I would like to know. I mean, I think there's a lot of people here, whether you're a friend of someone who's in a relationship where they're living together. I mean, a parent, me even as a parent of kids, like how to teach them, you know, this idea of being motivated by love. Because I know I grew up, you know, in church and it was always, you know, you had your purity ceremonies and it was don't do this till you're married, don't do this, don't live together, don't. And it was all these don't, no. But coming from a place of love, being motivated by God's love, what advice would you give to those of us to be able to speak into those couples' lives?
Well, I go back to, you can't beat purity into somebody.
Mm-hmm. You can't beat it into them.
You can't. You know, it's, and I think that's what happens a lot. Even it happened to me growing up. You know, we were told, this is right, this is wrong, you know, but never why. What's the why? Well, why is it wrong?
Why, yeah.
And so when you go off, you almost want to, you know, when I went off to school and stuff, I almost wanted to find out why is it wrong, you know, and so that's what I did. And so what I've started understanding is, and I always go back to this, it's Romans 2:4, and I'm not going to read the scripture, but pretty much what this scripture is saying is the goodness of God leads men to repentance.
Yeah.
And so what I try to tell young people that we're helping is God isn't wanting to radically change some things in your life because He wants you to suffer. And because he wants to take something away from you, it's because he has a bigger gift on the other side of it.
Amen.
You just haven't got your eyes to see that far yet. So what we tell a lot of people is, you know, you can only grow and experience however far you can see. So you have to look beyond the actual storm that you're in. See the greatness that God has waiting for you. And it's because that's how good God is, and that's how much he loves you. You know, and so when we can begin to explain these types of things for them, you know, they actually begin to see what God created them to be, understand that when they begin to find the gold within themselves instead of the dirt, that now God can begin to speak to that, which encourages them and empowers them to make these types of decisions and to realize that there is a greater gift awaiting for me. Just because I have 3 minutes, don't let 3 minutes of pleasure right now take away an eternity of greatness that God has waiting for you.
Amen. Amen. Well, again, it's such an amazing story, and we could go on forever, but I would encourage you guys to follow them on Instagram or Facebook or whatever and read the story on the Brave series. You can look it up on the Cooped Up Cowboy's Wife or whatever it is and read that story. But here's the reason that I brought them in and I wanted them here is because their relationship was changed by the truth and the Word of God out of love, not condemnation. Again, so many people, you may feel the condemnation of God. Listen, God doesn't want to condemn you. He wants to set you free. And so some of you guys are like, man, I don't know if I believe that or not. No, listen, God, he created sex. He created marriage. He wants you to feel it to the fullest. But you need to do it his way. They've been on both sides of that fence. And they've just shared with you the love of God, the blessing of God is so much better than doing it our way or doing it the world's way. And so maybe you're here today and you've done things the world's way. And you think, well, I don't know that I have the strength that they have. Here's the deal. You don't on your own. But through Christ, you can. You can. Some of you teenagers are like, dang, man, I can't save sex to marriage. I mean, I might not get married. You know, whatever. You know, I can't save that. Yes, you can. Through the power of Christ, through the Word of God, through accountability from other people, through being in a church that, again, is going to support you in that, you can remain, you know, you can save that gift of sex for marriage. But some of you guys, again, you've maybe already gone down that road and gone down that path. Can I just share with you the greatest part of their story is redemption. I mean, God took a situation where they were disobeying, they were doing the things that they shouldn't have done, and God said, I'm going to love you anyways, and actually, I'm going to show you my way, even though you've not honored me, I'm going to show you my way, and I'm going to even bless your marriage, and I'm going to give you a child, and I'm going to bless you with a horse training facility, and I'm going to bless you with all these things, because you were obedient.
He loved it.
Oh. Go ahead, yeah, yeah.
Oh, it was off. Check. He loved us right where we were at, but he loved us way too much to leave us there.
Absolutely.
So he empowered us so that he could take us where he wanted us to go.
That's good.
Absolutely, yeah. And so we want you to experience that same grace, and it is available to all of us. And so if you're in a situation where you're like, I'm in this relationship, I don't know if it's, I know it's not God's will, God can give you the strength to either redeem it, make it work for him, if you'll honor him, or he'll tell you to get out, and then you'll have a better relationship on the other end of it. I'm just telling you, that's the hope that you can have in Christ. Now, you say, okay, Bo, I've been married 20 years. Here's the other side of it, and this is what I want to touch on. So you guys, I've been married 20 years, and we didn't build our foundation on Christ. We built it on whatever, you know, the world has said, and we did things exactly like they did them at the beginning. What do we do? Here's it. It's simple. Ask him to forgive you. And you say, I didn't realize it was wrong until now. Seriously, go to the Lord and say, we confess that we didn't do it your way. We want your blessing upon our marriage, even though we've been married 20 years. And I'm telling you, God will take your marriage to a whole nother level because you've actually repented from some of the things that maybe you did in your past that you didn't know were even wrong. And he can do that. And so I'm telling you, receive his grace, receive his mercy, and live for him, and you'll never, ever regret it. Never regret it. And so I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. Some of you guys have never been to church before. You've never been to our church before. We're not going to ask you to come to the front. We're not going to make a spectacle about, you know, your life or your decisions or anything like that. But we want to have a time where you can make that commitment to the Lord. And so maybe you're here today and you're living in a relationship, or you're in a dating relationship, or even your marriage isn't honoring God. And today you've heard about the hope and the forgiveness of Christ. Here's the thing. He wants you to come clean. Actually, he wants you to come to him dirty so that he can clean you up. And so some of you need to confess today to the Lord and to say, maybe you just pray something like this. Maybe just this is your prayer of commitment. Jesus, I know that I've not done things right. I know that I've not done things right in our dating relationship or in past relationships, in our marriage even. And I need you to forgive me of that. Maybe you need to pray, Lord, not only do I need you to forgive me of that, now I want to commit to doing things your way. I am done doing things my way. I'm done doing dating my way. I'm done doing relationships. I'm done doing my marriage my way. And I'm committing it all to you today. Show me your way. Show me what your will is for my life in dating and in marriage later on, or marriage right now. Show me what that is, Lord. And help me to take the steps of faith that I need to take so that you can pull the veil away, like the scripture says, and so that I can know your path even further. And so maybe you just prayed that prayer of commitment. Listen, you can do it through the power of Christ. You can have an amazing marriage. You can have a marriage that's not without troubles or trials, but you can have a marriage that honors God at the end of the day. At the end of your life, you can look back and go, we honored God. We found the truth that set us free, and we lived free in Christ. And we enjoyed the blessings that he poured upon us. And so listen, maybe you just made that commitment. My prayer is that you would find your strength in the Word of God daily, as you spend time daily learning about Him. Maybe you need to fill out the orange card that's on your chair and place it in one of our yellow buckets so that we can come alongside of you and help you grow in your relationships. Maybe you have questions about dating or, you know, marriage or sex or whatever it is. Maybe just fill out the card. We will contact you about your decision or about your questions. You say, but I don't even know where the card is. I don't know where it went. Well, here's another option. Text your name to the number on the screen as you leave today, and we will contact you. It's that simple. And some of you guys are like, man, I don't know if I want to do that. Do it. You'll never regret being obedient to God. You'll never regret it. Some of you are here today, and you maybe have relationships on this earth, but you've never, you know, had the relationship that is the ultimate relationship, and that's the relationship with Jesus Christ. And so for some of you, you're like, man, I don't know how to have a godly marriage because I don't know God myself. Listen, Romans 10:9 says, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And you said, but what does that mean? Well, it simply means that if you will pray and ask God and confess to God that He be the Lord of your life, He will save you from your sin. He'll cleanse you from all your past, all the unrighteousness, all the sin in your life, and He will make you a new person in Him. And not only that, He'll give you eternal life in heaven. And so maybe you're here today and you need to accept Christ into your life. Again, it's a simple thing. And maybe you just need to pray something like this in your heart, right there in your chair, just in your heart. Maybe you just need to pray something like this. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know you died on the cross for my sins. I know my only hope is in you. And so I'm giving you my life today. Forgive me of my sin and come into my life. Listen, maybe you just prayed that prayer with me. I want to celebrate with you the greatest decision that you'll ever make, and that's to follow Jesus. And our church wants to celebrate with you. And so here in just a second, we're going to close. I'm going to close in a word of prayer. If you have questions, again, if you say, well, what's the next step? Well, we've got the answers. We have people in our church that know the answers of how to grow in your new relationship with Christ, and we want to share those with you. So let me lead us in a word of prayer, and then we're going to do something special before we leave. Lord, we just come to you right now, and we just thank you for the amazing love that you have shown the means, the amazing forgiveness that you've shown them and to all of us, the amazing grace that you've given to all of us and you've extended to all of us as well. And so, Lord, we praise you for that. We praise you that when we fail, you are there to pick us up. And when we commit our lives to you, that you're going to be with us for the rest of our lives, and you're going to guide us, and you're going to protect us, and you're going to use us for your glory. And so we praise you for that. And we thank you for a church that speaks truth, that talks about the real and the raw, that isn't going to allow the world to influence our children and every couple that we come across, but we're going to influence the world. And so use us, strengthen us, empower us, increase the influence that we have all across the world so that we can make a difference for your glory. And we do give you all the glory. It's in your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for taking time to listen to this message. If you have made a commitment today or have questions, you can contact us at info@thousandhillsranch.church or 580-216-6427, and may God bless the ride you're on.